This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks so much for being with us. Joining me in studio, as he does most every week, is Brooke Stockburger, the managing editor of the Las Cruces Bulletin. Hello, Brooke.
Hello, Mr. Fred. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. We've got a lot of news to talk about today, and it's always kind of nice in the news business when there's important stuff going on, and you can tell people about it.
It keeps us hopping,
and it makes the day go by very quickly. So I want to get to some of these things. In fact, some of these stories folks may have heard some version of it on KRWG radio this week. You have more in-depth coverage this week in the Las Cruces Bulletin on a couple of different stories that are very interesting. They're actually of regional interest. The first one is this education secretary in New Mexico, Hanna Scandera, wrote a scathing letter to the Las Cruces School Board. And this week in the school board meeting, the school board responded to this letter, which includes allegations that the school board has not been following the Open Meetings Act properly. And the secretary is basically telling them, you have to get training or else. And
exactly.
We don't really know what else is yet, but it's kind of like, you must do this, basically.
Yeah, I don't know if that means the school board could be suspended and the state would take over that role for a while or what.
We all know it was a scathing letter. Yeah, let's just
sure
say
was.
That.
It yeah. sure was a scathing letter. What's interesting is, obviously, Las Cruces School Board has had issues with years ago. There was some open meetings laws things. It was a big to-do. More than a decade ago, I do believe it was, but around here. So people were probably sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. All new board members since then, many times over. But the school board did not react well, for the most part, to this. There's a big faction on the school board who seems to be angry about it and is telling Secretary Scandera that she's wrong and is replying. And they're having a lawyer. Their lawyer, their attorney, come up with a reply to her. So there's more to this story going on. But
yeah, I mean, there are specific incidents that are referenced, and we should mention, as was mentioned in our story on the radio, that the number of school board members say that some of what is in the letter in their assessment is factually wrong, that it's not correct. So, you know, this is really interesting, and of course, I think you might agree with me, Brooke, because there has been so much difficulty with the education changes over the last few years, and this is not the first time that the education secretary has made a threat. There was, as we all may remember, another letter some time ago that told the school board, you must report all teacher absences to be considered for the performance evaluation process, even the absences that are part of union negotiated contract agreements for personal days and sick days. That, in other words, those have to be reported as part of the evaluation. And the school board did not want to do it, but eventually relented, basically because of a letter that said, you must do this.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting, very contentious situation. And there is a lot of heated views out there. I'm close to a lot of people in the education, as you know, and I hear about it a lot. And, boy, it's boiling over. It really is. And it's not just between the school board and Scandera. It's, you know, the whole education system in New Mexico and Scandera on one side and lots of other people on the other side and the unions. And we've had people come out and make comments. And
your story in the Bulletin is by who? Who wrote
Mike
it?
Cook.
Mike Cook. Okay. Yes. Who used to work for the
Las
Cruces
for the school
public schools.
For a long time.
And
yeah,
we should mention your wife is a teacher.
Yep.
I have a doctorate in educational administration. So full disclosure has been made that, you know, a lot of people have one way or another connections to education.
Oh, yeah.
So there are different views on how education policy should be implemented.
Yeah, it's all the talk.
And it's very interesting. And
what I found very interesting, too, is that the student school board advisor, this guy from Centennial High School, really had some strong words, too. You know, here he is a student. He's not a voting member on the school board, but he fills that role where it's like a student member. And he really had some strong comments, too, if you read into it. So,
and I think his comments echoed, if correct me if I'm wrong, what many other people were saying was, here's the larger issue. We need local control.
Yeah.
That there's a reason that we have school board members elected, and exactly. It's because we have a system of local control of our schools. And the statement is, of course, this is an example of that being threatened.
Yeah.
So
he called it political grandstanding. So yeah. It's very interesting, and it'll be interesting to follow this as we go forward.
It certainly will. Another story dealing with children, and this is a very sad story. We have had another surge of unaccompanied minors at the Texas-Mexico border, and a number of these children are being housed at Holloman Air Force Base. And you have a story on this.
Yeah, just over the mountains over in Alamogordo. You know, a lot of these students come from, children come from Central America, Honduras and different places. And they come through Mexico a lot of times on their own or with smugglers. It's a very dangerous, journey. And now they're here. And sometimes they have relatives and stuff here that they're trying to get to in the United States. Sometimes not. Their cases have to be adjudicated. They have to go through the immigration process, but they need to stay somewhere too. So one of the places is Holloman Air Force Base in Alamogordo, and it's housing several hundred right now, and they're trying to make room for more. And they have bunk beds and bathroom and shower facilities and that sort of stuff. And Elva took a long look at that situation for us, and we have a front page story on it.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of it's sad that we live in a world where parents feel they have to send their kids on these dangerous 1,000-mile or more journeys, across third world countries to try to keep them safe.
But it is a reality, and this is temporary housing, we should mention. It is not permanent, and but it is very, very much, it appears, something that we're going to see more and more of because the violence and the difficult conditions continue south of the border, and it's very, very unfortunate to see.
I guess the average stay is about 32 days for these children at this place. So.
Okay. Well, moving along now, you occasionally do something that's a real highlight in the Las Cruces Bulletin. You have a column, and this week your column is on Lent. And we should mention, for folks who don't know this, Brooke, even though your bachelor's degree is in journalism, you have a master's degree in religion.
Yeah, I do. Always an area of interest for me. I enjoy writing about it when I get a chance over the years. And we do. This is a big week for Christians. Wednesday will be Ash Wednesday, and you'll see a lot of people going around town with the sign of the cross written in ashes on their forehead, and it might look like a smudge, but don't try to wipe it off. It really is ashes and the sign of a cross. And it starts the Lenten holiday or Lenten season, which ends with Easter, which is in late March this year. And I sort of get into, some people don't know what Lent is and why some of their fellow Christians are walking around with ashes on their forehead and the meaning of all that and what Lent means and why is Red Lobster packed every Friday night during Lent and people are eating fish and trying to stay away from meat. So have a little fun with it, but also sort of look at the background a little bit.
Okay. Moving to one of your other favorite topics, sports and signing day. You touch on this in the paper.
Yeah, National Signing Day. It's time for the Aggies to unveil who is going to be new Aggies and who they've signed to national letters of intent. And they signed about 16 of them on, this past Wednesday. And one of the interesting ones is that they have a guy who's 6'7", 320 pounds, and he's from Canada. So he's going to play on the line for them. And kind of raw probably coming out of Canada, but they figure with his size they'll give him a chance. And you just throw him out there and see what he can do on the line. But a lot of interesting stuff. They signed a lot of linemen, but they've signed some defensive backs and people who can return the ball and everything. They have one quarterback who's out of Kansas. He was a top recruit out of Kansas in 2011, one of the top quarterback recruits in the country. But he ended up at TCU and then Southern Miss. He had to transfer a couple times. He had some injuries. And now he's got 1 year of eligibility left, and he's here in Las Cruces. So we'll see what happens with that, too.
Okay.
And we did have Cameron Miller, the starting quarterback for the Las Cruces High Bulldogs, is going to be a Lobo. He officially signed to go up the road and play for the UNM next season.
Okay. Well, tomorrow, of course, is Super Bowl Sunday, and you have a feature in the Bulletin this week, picks for Super Bowl Sunday. We'll see who's right, who's wrong.
Yeah, Mr. Mike Smith, who we just talked about doing the school board, he also went out and he talked to a whole bunch of people around town about who do they think is going to win the Super Bowl.
Mr. Cook, right?
Mr. Cook,
Mike
yes.
Cook.
Yes, what'd I say?
You said Smith.
I said Mike Smith.
Yes.
Wow. Sorry, Mike. Mike Cook.
Yeah.
Yes, and he talked to a bunch of people, including me. I gave my prediction, and he talked to...
Your prediction is?
I think Carolina will win. Carolina. I think it'll be a close game, but I think Carolina will win. But most of the people he talked to picked the Broncos, so he talked to, like, Gary Carruthers and different people around town, people with the city, and people in education, and Kerry Hamblin, and all kind of people. So
should be a good game.
Yeah, it's
all
a fun
right.
read.
We'll look for it. In the Life is Good, in Las Cruces section this week, you have a preview of the For the Love of Art Month, which is every February in the city of Las Cruces. And you talk about some of the events coming up in as we move forward in February, and also an event that took place last night.
Yeah, already the Downtown Rabble was Friday night, and that sort of kicked off the whole For the Love of Art Month going on. And Zach takes a big look at this in his section with a bunch of things going on throughout this month of February, and we give some dates and times, and you know, some of the art that's going to be taking place and things you can get out to. So It's a nice long piece, and it really sort of thoroughly goes over what's going to be happening.
Okay, you also have a movie review. This movie, many folks may have seen it advertised on television or during the Golden Globes, and there's also some nominations for the Oscars. The movie is simply called Carol, and it stars Cate Blanchett in a role in which many years ago... she was in the character Carol was involved in a lesbian affair.
Yeah, it's set in, I think, the 1950s, so a time when this kind of thing would be much more frowned upon, even than it is now. But it's based on a novel by Patricia Highsmith, and it's an interesting movie. I've seen it, and Rooney Mara is also nominated for Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress in it. And it's a very slow, methodical dialogue kind of movie. It's a beautifully shot. It's a really pretty movie. Jeff Berg gives it an A, but an A minus. He says it's sort of dry. It's not for everybody, but it is very well acted.
Okay.
And very good.
So. I have less than a minute left, so I'll move to the health section, because there are two important things in the health section that you want to mention. Testing for your home.
Yes, test radon. For people who don't know, it's a colorless, odorless gas, and it can be a killer. And it's good for you to test, so read about that and find out what radon is and how you can test for it.
And also well water testing, which is being offered for free. You have a short piece on
that, right? Yeah, way back on B35, you can find it out in Healthy Happenings, but you can test your well water for free, and there's a way of doing that. So learn all about that and take advantage of it.
Take advantage of that, and it's in the bulletin, a small headline, but it is in the health section. You don't get much for free, but you can get your well water test for free. Brooke,
thanks
so much for being with us this week.
Thank you, Fred.